Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
I'm excited this morning about this morning's message. I'm excited about what God is doing in our church. There's so many good things going on. So I'm excited about this message this morning, and I think it makes a very quick application to all of our lives. We've been talking about this thing called bearing people to Jesus, bearing others to Jesus, and what that means. I also believe this morning that God is going to renew part of the culture here at our church, at NC4, both here and Mukunji, in a very supernatural way. I'm going to be talking about the timing of God and the work of the Holy Spirit and making supernatural appointments. These things called supernatural appointments. One of the coolest things I love about my faith and about the God that I serve is that He appoints things in a supernatural way. I can try to align things. I can try my best to make sure my schedule is lined up in my iPhone, even though I miss most of the notifications if you know me well. But I am excited because God aligns things in a very supernatural way from time to time. I think a lot of people look at Christianity and think that it is boring. They think that it is confining. They think it is about a bunch of rules and laws and just you have to give up what's fun in your life. Let me tell you that nothing is more freeing than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing is more exciting than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because my schedule isn't always His schedule, but His divine appointments and His supernatural hand make my life an incredible journey that I love and that keeps me fresh. Amen? So these things are called divine appointments, these supernatural appointments that God makes, because they are these connections that are constructed by God. God so orders things such that two people or maybe even groups of people come together, and the fruit of it is that very thing, divine. And I believe these kinds of connections happen all the time. You can probably think back at your life and see God's divine appointments aligning themselves. But I also believe that we have to have an appetite. We have to have a hunger for God to use us this way. And we have to be God's executives in it. We execute His purposes. God is taking us as a church into a season where there is a real hunger to be used supernaturally like this. And this is why I'm excited. So therefore, the title of our message this morning is Making a Divine Appointment. The connecting music this morning is from a gospel singer named Linda Martin. And the song was called Making Divine Appointment. It was called God on Time. One of her lyrics is the tagline this morning, which is, He may not be there when you want Him, but He's always right on time. He may not be there when you want Him, but He's always right on time. So in order for us to pursue this, we're going to take a look at a larger piece of Scripture than we do a lot of times, but it's a fascinating study here that we're going to take a look at how God unfolds His divine appointments for us. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can turn to the book of Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And both this week and next week, we'll be looking at this thing called the anatomy of a divine appointment. Now, Pastor Jack is out in Mukunji this morning, and he's preaching the same message. But what we wanted to do is have him get out there to see them because we are one church, two campuses. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now, there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. Now, it's important to pay attention to how specific the action of the Holy Spirit is to the circumstances that are involved here in Acts, and how careful Luke is to tell us about this. This cohort of legionaries are from Italy. They're not from the Eastern Mediterranean. They speak the wrong language. They're Latins. They're the wrong ethnicity. And they are resented, occupying police force in the political military capital there. To reach across the social ethnic lines, there needs to be a divine appointment. Cornelius commands 100 of them. But there is something special about this guy. Verse 2. He is a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. You see, this guy abandoned his pagan gods for the one true God. He's not a Jew, but he is a God-fearer. And he prays and he gives generously to the synagogue, just like the centurion in Capernaum. Verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. Now at this time, it was about 3 p.m. This is the Jewish hour of sacrifice and prayer. And Cornelius was observing a liturgical prayer here. Verse 4. And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now the word for memorial here carries the sense of some kind of heavenly tipping point. That a heavenly tipping point here has been reached. We'll talk more about this in a minute. Verse 5. Now dispatch some men in Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who's also called Peter. Joppa's about 30 miles away. Verse 6. He's staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. The word dispatch is being used here. It's a military language. So Peter was being summoned. He was not being asked. Verse 7. When the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. Verse 8. And after he had explained everything to him, he sent them to Joppa. They were appointed divine connectors here. Verse 9. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. This was the Jewish hour of midday sacrifice and prayer. Everything's activated here, folks, and it's activated by prayer. Verse 10. But he became hungry, and he was desiring to eat. This is not the time for the Jewish midday meal. The source of this hunger is supernatural, and we'll see why. Continuing on. But while they were making preparations, meaning for the food, he fell into a trance. Literally, it says that he was made to be in a difficult place of being. Verse 11. And he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered from four corners to the ground. Verse 12. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, Get up, Peter, kill and eat. Literally, arise, kill and eat. Verse 14. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. In Peter's mind, this was a no-no. Verse 15. And a voice came to him a second time and said, What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Verse 16. This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. This is a monstrous paradigm, folks, a monstrous paradigm changer for Peter. The Jewish dietary laws not only define his relationship with God, but with his family and with his religious community. Verse 17. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, in other words, is this preposterous thing I've seen legitimately God? And here comes the confirmation. It's kind of like Mary being sent to Elizabeth immediately after responding to the angel Gabriel. Behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. Verse 18. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. Verse 19. While Peter was reflecting on a vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking at you. Look at all the timing that's going on here, folks. Behold, three men are looking at you. But get up, go downstairs, and occupy them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. So the unpacking of this episode is part of our bearing people or carrying people to Jesus. And it fits well with this series. And I'm mentioning it this morning because I want us to take note here, folks. God is extravagantly specific in ways in which he will appoint us to get people to Christ, to get them and bear them to the Lord. And what we literally have to do is to develop an appetite, to develop an expectation for it. We have to look for it to happen because God will do it. And here is the first thing and the first principle for us this morning to consider. When God remembers, it doesn't mean that he ever forget. When God remembers, it doesn't mean that he ever forget. In other words, folks, God's regard is constantly, constantly towards us, whether we notice it or not. A.W. Tozer said this, "We need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer than our own soul. He is closer than our most secret thoughts." And that fits well with that word that came forth this morning, that God is limitless, that he wants us to live our faith without limits. Now, I believe that and I rely upon that very notion in my own faith. But having said that, there are times when from our side of the desk, in our prayer lives, as we are hitting a tipping point. It is as if we've gained God's attention. And sometimes you just kind of feel it. You just kind of know it. Something in heaven is stirring. The sound goes forth in Narnia that Aslan is on the move. All that's required of us is that we have an appetite and that we have an expectation. Amen? Last week, our very own Patience Osborne reached out to Pastor Jack and told him something that was going on in her life. And it's a powerful testimony, and it fits very well here with having an appetite and having an expectation. So we've asked her to come up and share that testimony.
So I can't believe all the little pieces that are coming together, even Mike mentioning Aslan. A few weeks ago, I just started asking God, saying, there's more to this. There's more to this normal Christian life. There's more to this. And I've been a Christian since I was really little, but I was like, there's more, there's something more. I want to be a little Christ. I want to be that in the world around me. How do I do that? I have no idea how to do that. And along the same time as I was asking that, a lot of people I started hearing saying, oh, we take communion every day. And I was like, what? Why would you take communion every day? It didn't make sense to me, but I was like, well, can't hurt, can it? So I went to Phil, my husband, and I said, can we start taking communion every day? And so we have in the morning, we're taking communion. And the one day I was, I was asking God, I don't know how to approach people I don't know. It's not really my personality, but I want your personality, and I want to love the people around me. And I was in the elevator, and I was going down to the bank, and I just said, just help me. Do whatever you need to do to fill me with the passion that you filled the people at Pentecost with, your disciples, because after that, they weren't afraid, and they just went out no matter what was going to happen to them, and they represented you because of the passion that they had for you. So I'm going down the elevator, and I just said, God, I need that passion. Fill me with that passion. I had no idea how he was going to do that or what he was going to do. So I'm walking into the bank to do my deposit, and as I'm walking in, all of a sudden, I just hear this, you know, faint word in my head. There's a deli that we sometimes go to, and we know the owner. Her name is Wafa. And I hear, Wafa has pain in the right side of her neck. And I went, really? Really? So I go into the bank, I do what I need to do, and I'm walking out, and I'm like, well, I did just ask God to, you know, help me talk to people. And so I'm like, I should obey. Now, guys, I want you to know, because you're probably sitting there going, oh, I couldn't do that. That's not my normal thing to do. But I was asking God to let me be what I'm supposed to be, a representation of Jesus. And just like Jesus, he heard his father, and he did what his father told him to do. And that's who I'm supposed to be. And so if my old personality doesn't fit with that, my old personality has to die. And I need to become that because I don't live anymore. It's not me who lives. It's Jesus that lives in me. So I went into that deli, and I'm like, now I was shaking. And a woman that I knew came out, and I said, "Hi, is Wafa here?" And she said, "Oh, no, she had to go home early today. It's a Monday." And I went, "Oh, okay." And right away, the enemy's right there going, "Aha, see, you didn't hear God." So I went to walk out, and I just heard this calm voice say, "Are you sure you could just go in and pray with her?" And I went, "Oh, yeah, I could do that." So I went back in, and she came back out, and she said, "Oh, you're back?" And I said, "Yeah, it's the strangest thing. You see, sometimes I'm walking around, and God just, like, puts something on my heart for people because he loves them." And she goes, "Okay." And I said, "By any chance, do you have a pain in the right side of your neck?" And she goes, "Oh, you mean Wafa?" And I went, "What?" And she goes, "You mean Wafa. She has a pain in the right side of her neck. That's why she had to leave early today." And I was like, "Really?" And she goes, "Wait a minute. How did you know that?" And I was like, "Well, like I said, sometimes I'm walking around and, you know, I'll just hear something in my head. And so I want to go and pray for people because obviously if Jesus tells me that, he probably wants to heal them of that." And she goes, "Whoa, I'm getting goosebumps." And I said, "Well, if she's not here, can I pray with you for Wafa?" And she was like, "Sure." I said, "Well, can I hold your hand while I pray?" She goes, "Sure." She like sticks out her hand. And so I just pray this little quick prayer and stop praying. And she goes, "Okay, hold on a minute. You have to tell me again. How did you know that she had a pain in the right side of her neck?" So I explain it again. And I just say, it's just because Jesus really loves Wafa. He loves you. And he just wants you to know that." And she goes, "He loves you too." And I was like, "He does." So with that, she goes, "I am going to call Wafa right now." And I was like, "Okay." So I left the bank and I didn't see her for a couple days. Well, in the middle of those couple days, I walked into the bank again. There's like something with this building, I don't know. So I walk into the bank again, I go to the teller, I come away, and there's a woman sitting in the chair, and I walk past the woman and I hear the word hands. And I was like Wafa I know, so it was kind of scary because it was weird for me, but I was like, I knew Wafa, but this lady, I didn't know at all. And I was like, "Oh, okay, God, this is the next step." And I walked out of the bank and I went, "All right, I'm asking to be this, so I need to be obedient." So I went back in and I walked up to the lady and I got her attention and I said, "Excuse me, ma'am, this might sound really strange, but, you know, sometimes I'm walking around and God just, you know, puts a word in my head, and I was walking past you and he happened to say hands, and I don't know, but do you have any pain in your hands that you want prayer for?" And she's looking at me and nodding, and then she goes, "No, no." And I went, "Oh, I'm sorry, okay, well, God just bless you and have a good day." She goes, "No, no, no." And I was like, "What?" And she goes, "No." And in Spanish, she said, "I don't understand you." And I was like, "Okay, God, I don't know what to do now because I don't speak Spanish. Like, what am I supposed to do?" She goes, "Wait." And she turns and she points and she goes, "She'll translate for you." And I was like, "Who?" And I turn and it's the bank manager. And I was like, "You have got to be kidding me. Like, no, this is really out of my comfort zone because, like, this is a person I have to see every day. And, like, what is she going to think of me?" You know, all those thoughts were going through my head. And I was like, "No, no, 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 it's okay, it's okay, it's okay." And she went, "No, no, 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 no." And so she calls the woman over and she says something in Spanish. And the woman looks at me and she goes, "Oh, she wants me to translate." And I was like, "Okay, is that all right? Do you have the time? Are you sure you have the time?" She goes, "Sure, I have the time. There's nobody else here." And I was like, "Okay." So I went through the whole spiel again with her, and I'm like, "Well, sometimes I'm walking around, and God just tells me things for people." And guys, this is a bank manager. And like, in my mind, I'm like, educated person, you know, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy and maybe, like, call somebody. But so I was like, I explained the whole thing to her, and she goes, "Oh, okay. Well, really, I speak Italian, not Spanish, so I might need to go get somebody else." And I was like, "No. God, come on." She goes, "But let me give it a shot." And I was like, "Oh, thank you, God." So she turns around and she speaks to the woman, and then she turns to me. She goes, "Oh, she says she goes to church all the time." And I was like, "Oh, okay, good. So she understands praying." So I say to her, "Well, can you ask her if she has any pain in her hands?" And she's asking her, and as she's asking her, I see the woman start going, "Oh, see, see, see." And she's like doing this, and then she goes, and here, in her left knee. And So I say, okay. And I said, can I pray? Ask her if I can pray. And she says, oh, she says you can pray. So I take her one hand and she's staring me right in the eyes, which just in the past I learned how to deal with that. But I'm glad because God taught me that. So that I just, you know, it's okay. You look right back at them. That's fine. Because in church here, we all close our eyes. But, you know, out there, they stare right at you. So I'm praying for her just a little simple prayer. And I'm thinking she's going to be like, thank you. All of a sudden, like her other hand goes up in the middle of the bank. And she's praying in Spanish or tongues. I don't know what she's praying in. And she's starting to cry. And I'm just like, and the bank manager's standing there watching this. And I'm like, whoa, okay. Well, God, I just bless what you're doing. And I didn't take my hand away. It was at least a full minute. And like a full minute is a long time when you're standing in the middle of a bank and somebody's praying. So I just stood there and blessed her. And I don't know what she said or anything. And I just said, well, I just want you to know that, you know, Jesus pointed you out to me because he loves you. And he wants you to know that you're important and you're special to him. And you're significant. I don't know if she understood any of that, but I think the Holy Spirit was able to speak that to her. And so I just gave her a hug and turned to the bank manager and said, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. And she was like, yeah, okay. So the next day we went back to the deli and I walk in and there's a long line of people now. And so I get up and Waf is staying there. She goes, oh my goodness, I'm so excited. I was like, why? She goes, I knew you were a Christian, but I didn't know you were that kind of Christian. And I was like, she goes, I'm so glad you're my sister. She's from the Middle East and her parents chose to stay there and run a camp where all these refugees are being put into. So she knows the power of God. And she knows, yeah. So she was so excited. She goes, oh my gosh. I said, well, how are you? How's your neck? She goes, it's fine. And I was like, yay. She goes, yeah. She called me. It's fine. And I called like 30 people and told them all about this. And I was like, whoa. So that all, you know, and there's been a couple other things that have happened since then. But it was interesting because like, it doesn't happen every day. And sometimes the enemy will try to get in there, you know, the little foxes, and he'll try to be like, you know what, why isn't it happening every day? What aren't you doing? What aren't you doing right? And there was another girl who I went up to, and she responded positively, but not like overly. And so the enemy was just trying to be like, well, you didn't do enough. You only did this, but where did it get her? And when Jen got up here and spoke that word about each person planting the seed and then the next person watering it, and it's really the Holy Spirit's responsibility to do all of it, I got the picture of Aslan teaching the kids at the very end of the first movie where he teaches the kids to go to the ones who have been turned into stone by the witch's scepter. He teaches them how to breathe over each one of them, and the life comes back into them. And God said, that's what you're doing. That's what any of you are doing when you're speaking life over people. You're breathing and they're coming back to life. And so I just thought that was, I'm like, yes, okay, that's it. That's all I'm required to do is be obedient and love the people around me. And if something supernatural happens, yes, I'm all for that and I want to see that. But it's really that love, that breath of life that you're speaking over people and you're choosing to do every day.
So we want all of you to go join that bank. Listen, sometimes it might not feel like God is doing something or that he remembers things that you've been praying for or even times where you've asked to be used. But when God remembers, it doesn't mean that he ever forgot. Amen? And it might not be a specific word. He might not tell you hands. He might. He might not tell you neck. He might. But it might just be like a gravitas that you have towards another person or the Holy Spirit grieving you as you're standing there in line looking at the teller, you know? And it can simply start by you just saying to them, are you doing okay? Are you okay? And then see where God takes it. And every single time, folks, I've ever done something like that, the Lord is not disappointed. The Lord has not let me down. And people are always, always, always gracious. They're so gracious, especially when it's the Lord. And that leads us here to our next point. A divine appointment means that we have actually been appointed. Irrespective, folks, of whatever political persuasion you hold, I've noticed over the course of my lifetime that when someone is elected or they're appointed to public office, many times that office changes the person more than the person changes the office. For that reason, I think that God often makes appointments for the most unlikely of people. God appoints us on the basis not of our perfection, but of our potential. And we all have a potential. And that truth reigns true throughout the course of the scripture. Look at the characters in the Bible. Look at Gideon. Gideon was a coward. He was weak. Thomas was a doubter. Nathanael was a snarky little skeptic. Now, you'd think that God would choose an apostle like Paul here to deal with Cornelius. After all, Paul had a certain grasp of the grace of God and the failure that the law had made, making him an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul would have had the theological qualifications for a trip to the centurion's house. But the interesting thing is that when God appoints us, our appointment can be as momentous for us as it is for the person that we're appointed to. And God does much more than we can see with it, just like Patience talked about. There's a direct relationship between Peter being given a charge to arise to kill and eat non-kosher food and then go stay in the house with a Gentile in a non-kosher household. And being appointed, God is saying to Peter, I get to declare what is holy and what is not. And I've seen this time and time and time again. Pastor Jack, as we were going through this message together, told me a story of Charles Stock. If you know Charles Stock, if you don't know him, he's the pastor at Life Center out in Harrisburg. And there had been this situation where there was a Russian Orthodox church about an hour away from Life Center where one of the icons in the church was supposedly releasing some kind of oil. And there were all these people that were coming. And so Charles decided that he was going to go with one of his assistant pastors and check this out. Why not? Now, this did not fall under his theological umbrella per se, because this is a Russian Orthodox church. And the icon was of Mary holding the baby Jesus. So he was like, I'm not so sure about this. So he went and he saw it. He checked out the oil. His assistant pastor took a little cotton ball and actually sopped up some of the oil. He said, at the base of this icon, there was all this oil running down. He was unsure about it. He wasn't quite confident in how he felt about it. But the assistant pastor took that cotton ball and he mailed it to his daughter, who is suffering for a long time of a chronic disease. And he told her to take it to pray. And he just said, I feel like God wants you to take that cotton ball and put it under your pillow at night. So she did. And she kept it there for about a week. She took the cotton ball to a lab and she had the oil tested in the cotton ball. And it ended up being similar to some kind of chemical that was going on in her brain related to the disease that she was going on with, right? And she ended up getting healed. Now, this does not fall under my theological umbrella either, okay? I don't pray to Mary. But guess what, folks? A divine appointment means that God is the one who appoints it. And sometimes he works in paradigms that go far beyond even our own understanding. This doesn't mean that the Russian Orthodox practice of theology was correct or perfect. It just means that the Holy Spirit can exercise a prerogative to be miraculous whenever and wherever he likes. Amen? That leads us to this next point. God delights in mingling the natural and supernatural as he connects us to others. I think the reason that supernatural or the spiritual is valuable in carrying people to Jesus is that it allows us to jump over our worldly conventions and obstacles that would otherwise constrain us, confine us. Divine appointments carry us across every kind of socioeconomic barrier. Jewish fishermen were not invited to Roman centurions' homes. The old covenant was, for the most part, by design, ethnically closed. The new covenant is by design diverse. Look at our relationship over the years with Templo Refugio. What God did in that relationship, bringing us together with a Spanish-speaking congregation, a 14-year partnership, is a great example. And that leads us to this thought. The Spirit preps every appointment that God makes. Just like Patience said, It might not make sense to us, but we can find comfort in knowing that it is not about us because the Holy Spirit is at work and that He makes the appointments. When we read this episode in the scriptures, we need to regard how specific God is in the way that He guides us. The prayer time of Cornelius and Peter are synchronized to the travel time between the cities. It's amazing. This very fact that Peter's in Joppa in the first place is the result of the miraculous. Peter seems to need things in threes here. He denies Jesus three times. He repents three times. There are three full visions of the non-kosher food here. And three people are made to bring him back to Caesarea. God is always doing it. He appoints these things, and it's Him and His work. When Grubby and I were meeting, we meet from time to time to talk about church-related issues, to go over different sermon series and kind of talk about the direction of the church. And the last time we got together, we had a really interesting conversation. When I was a little kid, my mom babysat a lot of kids. I may have talked about this at some point in another sermon that I've done. One of the kids that would come to our house every day was a close friend of mine who lived across the street. Now, my mom babysat maybe about a dozen kids, which I loved every day because there was always lots of kids to play with. But little did I know that this young boy across the street wasn't actually one of the kids that my mom was babysitting. He was just hanging out. But we grew pretty close over the years. We grew up in the neighborhood together. We had so much fun together. When we went to high school, I went to public school, and he ended up going to Catholic school. But then the Lord kind of brought him back into my life. He attended part of New Covenant for a long time, and he was part of our youth ministry program. And then God kind of took him somewhere else. And I haven't talked to him for a whole lot past few years. Well, when Grubby and I were meeting, he told me that, hey, have you heard from this person? And I said, well, why are you asking? And he said, I had a dream about him last night. And I said, what was the dream? And he said, in the dream, it was really amazing. He was sitting there in kind of the clothes that he used to wear a lot when he was a teenager. Pastor Jack knew him when he was a teenager because his daughters were friends with him as well. And he said, in the dream, he was sitting here in the old clothes that he used to hang out with when he was a teenager. He said, and then suddenly the room was filled with people, and there was this bright flash of light, and there was a figure in the room. And all of a sudden, I looked at this young man, and he was wearing completely different clothes. And he looked like a renewed and rejuvenated person. It was like God had transformed him and made him a new man. And he said, does that resonate anything with you? And I said, as a matter of fact, it does. Because 2 days prior to Pastor Jack and I talking and meeting, I got a phone call from that young man who told me he was getting married, and he wanted to know if I would do his wedding. Isn't that awesome? And it's just, what is going on here, you know? And so Pastor Jack called him up and told him the dream, and I talked to him the other day, and I said, what did you think about the dream? And he said, man, that dream was pretty crazy, bro. He was, I think I better do something about it. Yeah. I mean, it's neat when God does this stuff. The Spirit preps these appointments, okay? I didn't know. I didn't call him. The Lord was doing something. He was at work. When Kendra got pregnant the first time, we were trying for a while. It was a little frustrating. We started to freak out because things weren't working out quite well. Now, she had asked me if she could have a dog. Now, I grew up with Labrador Retrievers, bigger dogs, but she really wanted to get a little teacup chihuahua, like a tiny chihuahua, right? So things weren't going so well in our pursuit to get pregnant, and I just thought, you know, I'm going to make my wife happy. So I picked up my mom. I looked in the paper. I found out that this woman was selling these chihuahuas, and I went to see them, and I don't know if you've ever seen a chihuahua puppy, but they are totally cute, and they almost look like little wind-up animals, and it's hilarious because they're all walking around like this, shaking. And so I saw this little guy, and I was like, oh man, he's so cute. I paid for him. I was wearing a hoodie, and I actually put him in the hoodie pouch on the way home, and he fell asleep. I'm like, cool, you know? So I come walking in the front door, and Kendra's sitting in the living room, and there on the coffee table was this little object, and she said, honey, look. And she points at the coffee table, and it's a pregnancy test. And I'm looking down at this thing, and I'm like, are you serious? And I pick it up, and sure enough, two lines, which means what? You're pregnant. And I was like, you're pregnant? She's like, yeah. I'm like, yes. You know, I came over. We started hugging. And I forgot about the dog. So the dog starts going, rrr, and she's like, oh my gosh, what's that? And I'm like, oh, here. It's a puppy. But I look back at that, and it was like new life and new life, you know? I didn't set that up. it's cool when God does these types of things. That leads us to this next point. The fuel for divine appointments is a fixed devotional life. Sometimes, folks, it's easy for us to just kind of feel like we're left off the hook. But I love what Patience said, that a lot of what happened was predicated on the response of the Holy Spirit when she and Phil began to have communion with one another, when they began to work on their devotional life, when they began to pursue the Lord, the Holy Spirit began to do a work in her. Divine appointments don't take place in a vacuum, folks. We need to really take note of the fact that the way this appointment unfolds is through a very fixed and avid devotional life. Peter is at prayer when Jews are supposed to be at prayer. Cornelius was at prayer when he was supposed to be at prayer. His alms giving to the synagogue counted before the throne of God. His giving of his wealth mattered. That leads us to this thought. When God makes an appointment for us, Jesus is the point. When he makes an appointment for us, Jesus is the point. All of these examples that we're using this morning are not mere excuses to celebrate or to just get giddy about this thing called the supernatural. When we see God orchestrating circumstances and conditions in our lives, our first reaction should be, how does this appointment lead to an appointment with Jesus himself? The Holy Spirit guides us into a situation. He's the one that does it in the first place. That same Spirit of God will guide the situation itself in some way to Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit's job, to lift Jesus up. So as we draw this to a close this morning, folks, this brings us 2 points of really good news. Firstly, the burden for evangelism is on Jesus. It's not on us. And when we get that, when we begin to realize that, evangelism takes on a whole new face. Secondly, I'm speaking to those here this morning who may have this sense that God is kind of drawing them and has drawn them to a divine appointment. Maybe you had a dream. Maybe you had a prayer concern. Maybe you had something that the Lord's put on your heart for another person that you know God's spoken to you regarding a loved one. Maybe you've not acted upon it. But here's the good news, folks. The Holy Spirit doesn't carry out any cancellation policy on his divine appointments. Amen? In just a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to release some divine appointments. I want to just kind of encourage you all. We have a congregational prayer meeting coming up on June 12th. These prayer meetings have been well attended, and the Lord always moves in them. But we're going to be praying for a season of supernatural divine appointments on June 12th. So we really want you to be here for that. We're going to be praying also for 2 other divine appointments in 2 specific areas. For divine appointments for future marriages, and all the single ladies and men said, amen. And we're going to be praying for divine appointments for future pregnancies as well. And it doesn't mean that you're single or looking to get pregnant to be here. We want you to be here no matter what to lift these things specifically up, right? Folks, why don't we stand? Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that your sovereign hand is upon us, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you are a God who does not disappoint us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you commission us. You've given us that great commission, Lord, to go into all the world proclaiming the good news of your gospel, Father. But Lord, we admit this morning that it is the Holy Spirit's responsibility, Lord. But Lord, give us that appetite. Give us that expectation. Give us that enthusiasm, Father God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I pray a release of divine appointments in this room. I pray for a release of divine appointments in the lives of our family members, especially those that don't know you, God. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that we have, even though we feel frustrated, Lord, thinking that we just need to forget about it, Father, you never forget about it. So, Lord, open doors of divine appointments, Lord, and then give us the courage to walk through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.